Beach Boys, Bobberan.
Great song.
Here on the Mix on 90.7 WKGC FM and HD.
Here when you need us. I'm Tom Hoots.
I'm Caleb Jordan.
And we're here with Ian Satter from the Florida Department of Transportation, and we're talking all things improvement today.
I like that word.
It is. I mean, at this point, especially from the perspective here at the college, you can see big improvement over the last couple of years.
It's always fun to see you because there's always word of growth and improvement in the county, in our area.
Yeah, there's always something coming up. Yeah. Especially here in Bay County, there was a period of time where we didn't have a lot of major projects coming in this area. Now Bay County seems to be where it's at, especially in my district, where a lot of our work was going on in Escambia County. We have a lot of major projects there. We've got a lot of them coming up, but we've really seen a focus here in Bay County on addressing the transportation needs. And being a resident here myself, I'm glad to see it. And in fact, I work in Shipley, and my entire drive is basically going to be under construction improvements
For
the next couple of years. Yeah. Because of what with the work on 390, I have to travel 390. Then I have to go up 77. We're going to be resurfacing that from Southport all the way to 20.
Wow.
And then we're widening 77 from 20 all the way to I-10. And then boom, there I am in Chipley. So
that we are going to talk about the 231-98 junction, which is one of the most confusing pieces of road work.
I agree.
On at least in this part of the state. But I was wondering, how much, this is just a question you may not know the answer, how much damage has been done to our roads because of these incredibly heavy debris haulers?
That's a good question, and that's something we assess. And that's one of the things we constantly do is we test our pavement, and one of the things that we'll have to look at. Now, there's areas where the pavement is completely fine. There are other areas, especially some of these local roads, which aren't under our jurisdiction, but I drive down my neighborhood and I can see the damage that the trucks have been done there. So the county, the city, how they're going to do that. And at the same time, we have to look at our pavement. And luckily for us, the way the pavement is done now, there's a lot of science behind it. We're constantly looking at new ways to improve that. So the length of the time that pavement can last is a lot longer. So it's more durable and can last a lot longer. So, but that's something we constantly do. We're testing those things. We actually have to bore into it and we test it. So it's a constant thing for us. And we have a very active and robust resurfacing program. That's kind of our big thing, is we've got to take care of our maintenance of our current roads. And then after we have those taken care of, as far as funding goes, then we look at our capacity projects. That's when we look at things like 390, 231, those kind of things.
Yeah, the I live in Lynn Haven, and some of the roads had just, right before the storm, they had just gotten their half-cent infrastructure tax and had started working on the roads. And some of those freshly paved roads, I'd never be able to convince anybody that they're a year and a half old.
Right.
Because those debris haulers must have been incredibly heavy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those debris haulers, they got paid by
the ton.
By the tonnage, by how much they were bringing in. So obviously the more, you can bring in on a load, the better it is for them each time they get that ticket to get reimbursed for that. So it's, but obviously as well, they were trying to get those things, trying to get everything cleared as quickly as they could. Mm-hmm. And, we still have that up in Southport. There's still that field up there where they were still bringing debris as of recently. But we've closed on most of all of our debris removal fields. But that's something that, not only us as a state agency, but the county and the cities, they're going to have to look at that for years to come to determine how, they're going to have to look back at their infrastructure and how they're going to repair that.
Because if you look at the old part of Jenks Avenue, Jenks between Baldwin and 390, oh my Lord, that street has been torn. I know it's County Road, it's not you, but that it was in fairly good shape, and 6 months after the hurricane, it is just a mess. Because of, I'm just assuming it's because of these incredibly heavy trucks.
Well, Hurricane Michael is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you look at this day, we're a year past it, and you're still going to see things like, like you said, the pavement, things like that. You're coming back going, oh, man, now we've got to worry about that. We've taken care of the immediate concerns, but now we've got these long-term concerns that we have to, and we know as an agency, we're going to be looking at that for years to come.
I'll bet, yeah. Tell us a little bit, we spoke briefly in the last break about the 231 project. Mm-hmm. It was 231. It's been a long time, actually. I've been here since 1980 and haven't done a whole lot of work on at least this end of 231 in these years. What's going to happen, and what is the kind of the overall outlook for that incredibly confusing intersection down there?
All right. Well, they go together. Mm-hmm. So we have a...
That being 98 and 231.
231 and the and then 231 at the intersection of 98 and Harrison Avenue. So we finished our PD&E study, which is our project development and environment study. And then through that, we came up with the idea, yes, we are going to widen 231 from 4 to 6 lanes all the way from US 98 to State Road 20. That is a massive undertaking. So that's going to be broken down into different segments, much like 390. One of the things that we are looking to address there is the intersection at 98 at 15th Harrison and 231. Now, current design standards, that thing would never be allowed. But the way that those roads intersected, that was the best at that time that they could come up with. That's not what we're looking at now. So what we're looking at doing is constructing a flyover similar to what you have here at 23rd and 98. So that's one of the things we're looking at. As part of that, we're looking at flyovers along 231 at other segments, 231 and 77, 231 and 390. I believe there is another one that we're looking at in another segment. So there are different flyovers that we're planning along. We've got to keep that traffic moving. We know 390. We're planning on, we're in the study process right now to look at widening that from 231 to 77. So all these things are linked together. And that entire corridor was part of that study. And the key thing there is with the 231 and 98, we've got to keep that traffic moving east and west. At the same time, we've got to provide access to folks who want to access 231 and also access downtown. So that's what that project is slated to do. Let's keep that east-west traffic moving without having to stop. We remove the oddity that is that intersection and how you have to navigate it, and at the same time, still providing access to downtown.
Excellent. When, and we're going to take a little break here, I think, and when we get back from this break, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on at our new airport out there, because you guys are tearing it up out there too.
Yes, we are.
I'll hear right after a quick weather forecast from WMBB's Ross Whitley on The Mix.